children that need. Welcome to Tuesday Evenings at the Modern. For those of you that aren't familiar with the program, it happens each week, 10 weeks in the fall, 10 weeks in the spring. I encourage you to get online and check out the schedule. It's there for you. My name's Terry Thornton. I'm curator of education, and I absolutely love doing this every Tuesday night. It's nice to see familiar faces and new faces, so thanks for being here. Next Tuesday evening, we have Annie Cohen-Saul here to talk about her new book, Leo and His Circle, The Life of Leo Castelli. It's gotten great reviews. I think it should be very interesting, and I have it from somebody I absolutely trust that she's an incredible speaker. So I think you should put it on your calendar and encourage anybody you care about to be here. We will also have a book signing before the lecture that will be in the cafe. Again, all of this is online if you need more information. I also want to announce while I have you that we're continuing the Sunday tours, Sundays at the Modern, and they've gone off beautifully. The artists, architects, scholars are talking about either the permanent collection, the architecture, or the special exhibition, in this case, Ed Ruscha. And this coming Sunday, Stephen Laptisophon will be here. He's an artist. Will be here talking about the Ed Ruscha show. So I think it should be really good. Stephen's a very smart man with a great deal of insight into the work of Ruscha and is pretty excited about doing it. So that always makes for a good combination. Speaking of excited, I've been really excited about tonight's presentation since my friend Rob Caslin brought a New York Times article on an ambitious project by the conceptual artist Mary Ellen Keller to my attention this past fall. The project was described in the Times article was Prototype 180. It's a collaboration with the artist, Rice University Building Institute, and some others who've contributed, in which a residence in a Houston suburb is literally rotated 180 degrees, not 360 degrees, like I said a few weeks ago. I had comments afterwards that that'd be a great conceptual piece. And then it's my understanding that the piece is then being finished out accordingly, according to the project, and ultimately is to become an institute for the study of considered urbanism, which I think is a beautiful concept and something I'm anxious to go and see for myself. Of the project, Yale University art historian David Joslett stated, Mary Ellen Carroll practices land art in the city in her Prototype 180, where she projects a figure as powerful as Robert Smithson's spiral jetty onto the Houston suburbs, a house that has been lifted with its slab and rotated while looking out at the surrounding neighborhood from each of its facades with a permanent digital feed. This is art that is zoned for life. Prototype 180, which Mary Ellen herself has referred to as a ground-shifting exercise for which architecture is made performative, was actually rotated on November 11th, 2010, so this past fall, and has been included in the Texas Biennial that's happening this spring, with tours beginning on April 30th. I believe that's going to be at 2 p.m. specifically on April 30th. Maybe Mary Ellen can tell us more of that, and I'm sure that she'll give us some place online to reference for that information as well. While teaching architecture at Rice University in Houston, Mary Ellen also lives and works in New York. Prototype 180 is one of many projects that Mary Ellen has subjected to the fundamental philosophical question, what do we consider a work of art? Stolen cars in desolate environments, personally challenging trips to foreign lands, doppelganger performances and tapes, rotating structures, so on and so on. Work that is carefully considered, meticulously planned, and fearlessly executed, resulting in critical acclaim, including an extensive bibliography and an impressive international exhibition record. Mary Ellen's work was included in the 2010 Greater New York exhibition at PS1, And then prototype 180 opened at Columbia University in February, just to give you some of the more recent things. And most recently, she just returned from the opening of a solo exhibition at Gallery Herbert Winter in Vienna. There's also a much anticipated monograph, which has received the American Institute of Graphic Arts Book of the Year Award, which, by the way, is en route to our bookstore now, so it will be available to you very soon. I apologize it's not here tonight. In addition to receiving numerous honors and fellowships over her 20-year career, including a Graham Fellowship, a Guggenheim Fellowship, a Rockefeller Fellowship, a McDowell Colony Fellowship, and a Pollack Krasner Award, Mary Ellen has recently been recognized with an Artistic Honor Award by the American Institute of Architects in Houston, which is a great lead into tonight's presentation titled Architecture is Not Art. Please help me welcome Mary Ellen Carroll.
Good evening, everyone. And Terry, I want to give a sincere thanks to being here in Fort Worth. You know, Texas, I call casa dos. New York, I had the real estate before I had the real estate here in Texas. So it's always good to come home and to be in this building. And with such a stellar collection, is something that's really, really important to me. I think one of the things, and I'll talk about as I go into the talk a little bit more, but concrete has a very special relationship to Prototype 180, which is both a good and a bad thing. But I think, you know, to have such a significant museum and structure and the surrounding landscape, it really reflects and says a lot about the city and who actually inhabiting the title to explain it as either being a question or a provocation or a polemic. But one of the things that I do really fundamentally believe is that audiences are intelligent and the work of art is actually something that needs to be considered from the perspective of the maker, which, since audiences are intelligent, they're capable of doing that. So what I'm going to talk about tonight is primarily Prototype 180 because it's been over a 10-year process. But I'm going to give some background into some earlier works and then end with where I am today and what's actually taking place. So without further ado, do we want to do the light? Yeah, okay, perfect. You know, as many of you probably know, many artists have also academic careers. And in 1999, I was invited by the University of California at Irvine to teach a seminar that was on narrative. But no one really lives in Orange County. And there's a commute that if you miss about a 15-minute window of opportunity, it can either take you an hour and a half or it can take you almost close to 5 hours to get back to Los Angeles. So I was in a heated discussion with some of my students on Gertrude Stein and didn't feel I could tell them that I had to leave because I didn't want to get stuck in traffic, and weathered out the 5 hours. And this is actually when I conceived of Prototype 180. It had a different working title at that point, but I was thinking about the unmovable, about monumentality, about monumental works of art, not public art per se, because I think that most public art is really successful at failing, but also a form of patronage that was actually located in Texas. And I think that there's been a kind of spirit of support and entrepreneurialism that has allowed a lot of these works to exist. So, of course, you know, Smithsonian's Spiral Jetty, we have the Chinati Foundation in Marfa, Nancy Holt's Sun Tunnels. And then what I was thinking about is how their movement from, you know, that period in the 60s and 70s and a kind of poetics was usurped by architecture, namely beginning with Frank Gehry's Bilbao. But then there's many, many other examples. I would say, you know, Zaha Hadid's Firehouse in Basel, Switzerland, Rem Koolhaas's Library in Seattle. But where the kind of melding between art and architecture was created a kind of not only the facade,